Your back really hurts. It's actually pain you've had on and off for years. You've been to doctors, to physios, osteos, the works. Nothing seems to help. And you're tired, frustrated, and baffled. The thing is, it's quite possible if you go to your GP with pain, you won't get a medical answer for it. And one in five Australians lives with chronic pain. That's, as we know, leading to the overuse of prescription and over-the-counter painkillers. But research for some time now has pointed to the link between physical pain and unconscious emotions. Could the root cause of a chronic sore back or foot or shoulder actually be a difficult moment in your life that you've buried somewhere in your brain? How much is unexplained pain actually in your head? Dr. Dion Nowiski is a clinical psychologist with an expertise in psychotherapy. And Dion, what proportion of pain is psychological as opposed to having a medical reason? Do you know?
So we believe that a lot of people present to GPs with physical complaints. Up to about 50% of presentations to GP are for those conditions alone. Of those people, about 20 to 30% of cases are actually found to be no medical cause or no explainable medical cause for the symptoms. So that's about 20% of patients that go to a GP visit don't actually have any explanation for their pain.
Yeah. It's a high proportion, isn't it?
Yeah, one in five.
The pain is nevertheless presumably caused in the body, you know, by inflammation in the body or something, but it's the medical reason for that inflammation that's mysterious?
Yeah. And what we're finding is that a lot of the reasons for the inflammation stems back to unprocessed emotions and the anxiety that that's triggered in the person.
Does that account for what seems to also be kind of different perceptions of pain that different people have?
Yeah, so we know that the brain is the largest organ that actually processes pain, and that when there's a emotional injury, the brain processes it in the same way as if there's a physical injury. So it causes all the same flow and effects in the body.
So that means the pain is real, the physical pain is real, it's not imaginary.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So say you've got an emotion that you're not dealing with, maybe it's guilt. What happens, tell me more about what happens in the brain that translates that into pain, Dion?
So the brain begins to process the guilt on an unconscious level before we're even aware of it. So the limbic system is the part of the brain that processes emotions, but it communicates faster to us than what our cortex does, approximately four times faster. So what happens is when the brain begins to process the emotional responses like guilt, what happens is the brain tries to slow that process down what causes anxiety in the body, which then causes the body to tense up or to become inflamed as a result of that tension, which then flows on to causing pain.
And in addition to that sort of pain, you know, in the muscles and joints and so forth, are there other ways the body can manifest that sort of
repressed unconscious? Any system within the body, yeah. So respiratory, cardiovascular, neurology, dermatology, gastroenterology, these are all areas of the body that the pain can be experienced in.
Okay, now there's this documentary that's being screened around Australia and New Zealand and the USA at the moment. It's called All the Rage, and it's about Dr. John Sarno. Now, he worked as a doctor at New York University, and the film's all about his studies addressing chronic back pain and its connection to emotions. He wasn't accepted by mainstream medicine, but he's become a kind of a bit of a cult figure. Let's hear a clip from the film where Dr. Sarno is speaking.
We're talking about an epidemic of pain. These pains are not the result of some disease process, but rather the result of the stresses and strains of life. The residual child exists in every one of us. And by putting ourselves under pressure and by circumstances in life putting us under pressure, that residual child is getting very, very angry. And that literally is the source of this pain. Once you are aware of the nature of this, then it ceases to exist, which is really a wonderful thing to think about. It's knowledge that is the cure here. Knowledge is the only prescription that I have, then that I give to patients. I tell them what's going on, And wow, lo and behold, it stops hurting.
That's Dr. John Sarno, who's the subject of a new documentary called All the Rage. He actually died the day before that film opened in New York this year. But Dion Nowitzki, can you describe for us sort of the crux of his work and why it is actually considered important?
He was a pioneer in the medical field in some ways, and what he was able to do is to help people identify that the chasing the rabbit down the hole of trying to look for medical causes for their pain or physical causes was unnecessary. That if you actually looked at what had gone on in childhood and dealt with the emotions and the injuries occurred in those times, that there was a strong resolution to the underlying physical symptoms.
He was a physician, but why did mainstream medicine reject him, those ideas?
The medical model isn't based on psychological understandings. It's based on trying to understand pathology from a physical perspective.
Yeah. Do you buy that idea, though, that, you know, that he said that you just need to know that the cause of your pain is not disease, say, but it's life itself, you know, and it's slings and arrows and how it's affected you, and knowing that is the cure?
It has a strong healing effect. Knowing that there is something that you can do about the pain by dealing with it another way can have a really powerful healing effect.
This is Life Matters. I'm Amanda Smith with Dr. Dion Nowitzki, who's a clinical psychologist, and we're talking about why pain can seem to be mysterious and to have no identifiable medical reason, that the pain is kind of in your head. As always, love to know what you're thinking. Have you had pain that seems not to have had a medical reason? Have you gotten to the source of it, this sort of mysterious pain? Has looking into your unconscious helped? Get in touch on Facebook by searching ABCRN and send us a message. So, Dan, what's the link between the field of psychotherapy you work in and Dr. Sarno's work?
So Dr. Sarno had an understanding that emotions were at the root cause of a lot of people's unexplained medical pains, and the type of therapy that I practice, intensive short-term dynamic psychotherapy, has
it's quite a mouthful, that isn't it?
It is, but it has a strong understanding about the nature of pain and the links between the body and the mind and how pain can be created as a result of anxiety, and that a lot of our anxiety can be triggered by unprocessed emotions. So when emotions get activated in life these days, it can cause an anxiety response in the body, which can lead to inflammation and pain and so on.
All right. So as a psychotherapist then, what do you do with a person who comes to you with unexplained pain?
So we try to look at certain events that may have triggered their symptoms, and we try to identify if there's a pattern, if there's certain emotions that get triggered, and then we look at how that person responds when they're describing the emotions of that situation, whether they use a number of mechanisms to describe the pain or the emotions, or whether they begin to experience pain when they're even talking about the event. And then we try to identify what the underlying emotions are that didn't get processed, and then help remove the behaviours that the person has to avoid to feeling their emotions and help them experience them in a safe environment.
And you actually, I think, video your therapy sessions with patients. Yeah. Now, why do you do that?
It's a really helpful tool that I get to watch back the sessions, but it's also a really helpful tool that I use with patients that about.
Oh, so that you show the videoed sessions back to the patients.
Yeah, so okay, one so in five of my patients, I will actually get them to watch the videos at home themselves, under the right circumstances, and get them to watch their own behaviour and their own response to what's going on in their bodies when they're talking about a stressful life event.
And how does that help, though?
It helps them recognise the behaviours and the anxiety manifestations that they're experiencing, and by having that awareness of themselves, and then they have the opportunity to be able to do something with it. If it's automatic and unconscious, you can't change it. But once you become aware of it, once it becomes conscious, then you actually stand a chance of being able to do something healthier about it.
Okay. Now, the approach you take is just, I think, one of a number of psychotherapies that tackle this sort of thing. But your method, the ISTDP, it has been criticised for being a bit too confronting for people. What's your response to that criticism?
Yeah, in the early days, that was certainly something that people did throw a criticism at it over. It was a period of development when the therapy was being developed. Over time, there has been nuances and changes to it where it has become less confrontational and it has been become a much more collaborative therapy.
Yeah, how was it confrontational, I suppose I should clarify?
It was really challenging people's defences, and that is a very confrontational thing because we have our set of defences. We sometimes like our own defences, and having them broken down by somebody is a very unusual and socially counterintuitive thing to experience, and people found that quite difficult, but at the same time quite liberating.
So how do you then work in that line between challenging someone to get to where you want to go and being too confrontational?
Yeah, we kind of see that, and we explain to the person that it's almost as though there's an ambivalent state, that on one part there's a healthy part of them that wants to be free and to be able to experience life and their full potential. But there's this other part of them that's trying to keep them away from these, you know, difficult, conflicted emotions, and that we begin to try to collaborate with the healthy part of the person so that them and I can together turn against the unhealthy part of them that's trying to keep these feelings avoided for no reason anymore.
So, Dion, do you then, having worked through this process with someone, so they have chronic back pain, do you dead set see a difference in the level of that person's pain, and do they perceive it?
Yeah, quite rapidly as well in many circumstances. So I've had some patients who have come in for the initial assessment, which for us is 2 hours long, and they've come back the next week saying, I found that my symptoms weren't so bad in the last week, and I think it was because of something that we did here last week. So we get reports and feedbacks from people that they get relief from their symptoms quite immediately.
Now, of course, not everyone can go to a therapist, can afford to go to a therapist. What are a few techniques, Dion, perhaps that, you know, people can employ themselves?
Yeah, I think there's four main points. First one is to know that pain is in the brain, and that if there's an injury that's occurred to you in your life through some kind of event, knowing that that injury can also cause the same kind of physical responses in the body as the emotional injuries can have a powerful healing effect.
And that's the sort of John Sarno theory, that knowing is part of the way, at least.
Yeah. Mm. Then we build on from that. And what we get people to do, or what we recommend people can do at home, is to pay really close attention to their anxiety. Notice if you're the kind of person that gets tense and holds your breath when you're anxious, or if you get tummy aches and need to go to the toilet when you're anxious, or if you start to get lightheaded and dizzy and confused when you're anxious. And being able to monitor what kind of anxiety symptoms you're experiencing and trying to identify what kinds of feelings might have been triggered can also help you understand that it's just an anxiety response to how you're feeling, and that you can give yourself some kind of, you know, techniques to reassure yourself. The second thing is, know that there's a difference between a feeling, the impulse of the feeling, and the action. So, for example, I can feel angry about something and experience the power and the heat of the anger and want to lash out, but not have to lash out in that moment. So nobody has to get hurt, not me, not you. We don't have to suffer as a result of our feelings. And then if you're the kind of person who likes to keep a diary about the kinds of events that occurred when your symptoms flared up, and identify what kind of anxiety symptoms you might have been experiencing at the time and what kind of behaviours you used to manage that pain as well, and see if over time there's a relationship between the kind of anxiety symptoms that you're experiencing and the pain and the types of events. For example, was it being interrupted by a boss, or was it a rejection from a friend or something like that? And see if you can identify the patterns to your pain symptoms as well and the link to the emotions.
Right. And that again, knowing that, finding those links is the thing that can free you from,
even if it makes a small reduction in your pain without having to reach for a medication of some kind, that can be quite helpful.
Of course, yeah. And Dr. Dion Nowiski is a clinical psychologist at the Melbourne Centre for Intensive Short-Term Dynamic Psychotherapy, ISTDP. Who came up with that name, Dion?
That was Habib Davinloo.
Who's that?
He's the psychiatrist that developed the model in the 1960s.
Right, okay. He could have come up with something a bit shorter and sexier. But anyway, there you go. It's great to talk to you. Thank you very much. And now, of course, I have to consider the deep psychological reasons for my sore shoulder. Mm. So tell me, have you got to the source of a mystifying pain of your own by delving into your unconscious in some way? Does what Dion Nowiski is saying about those four steps making sense to you? There's no doubt that pain is a mysterious and not very well understood phenomenon. Let's know your own experiences on Facebook.